In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Last Sunday, I told you about that Facebook post I came across from a friend in the Lutheran Church. She was asking people for bread puns. The Lutheran Church shares the same common lectionary as we do, so they were deep into the multi-week bread passages from the Gospel of John, just as we are. After the 8:15 service and this service, people came up to me and said, "So, what were some of the puns?" I failed to share any of them with you last week, so let me correct that mistake now. Here are some of the best ones, and let me just say I'm not responsible for any groans. Quit loafing around. Plans are always going awry. Never make bread facing west. It should always be to the yeast. Name of the ship that carries no leaven, the bread knot. And of course, the puns created puns in reply. Someone said, "You guys are really on a roll." And the original poster said, "I knew you guys would rise to the occasion." Enough of that. You guys have your daily dose of bad jokes. Now, we have come to the end of our series of the reading of the Gospel of John, each one taking us further and further into the declaration that Jesus is the bread of heaven, deeper into the mystery of Jesus feeding the world with his very flesh and blood, deeper into the truth that what Jesus offers us is the food of everlasting life. The end of this series of bread readings, of our exploration of what Jesus' body and blood means to us and what it means for us to encounter him in the Eucharist, made me think of a story. In the 1940s, a young black woman invited her boyfriend to join her one Sunday at her Episcopal church. He was a bit hesitant. He was black and knew that his girlfriend's congregation was mostly white. At this time in our nation's history, Jim Crow laws were strictly enforced. Black and white people were kept separated and segregated in almost every way we can even dare to imagine. For any black person, a white environment carried fear and also carried real risk. When it came time for Holy Communion, the woman's boyfriend noticed that everyone drank from the same chalice. People who were not allowed to share the same drinking fountains in public were using the same cup to drink the sacramental wine. Nervously, he followed her to the rail and watched as she took bread. The priest lowered the chalice to her lips and said, "The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life." Stunned, the young man experienced the boundary-breaking and reconciling love of the living God. He drank the wine and was forever changed. This couple married, and one of their children grew to become our presiding bishop, Michael Curry. In light of this story of how his parents experienced the Episcopal Church, Curry says, "Communion is a sacrament of unity that overcomes even the deepest estrangements between human beings." I was struck when I read that account for the first time. Amidst all the turmoil this nation was going through, as it fought with the evils of racism, as many of its citizens were denied equal rights, as people actively worked to keep people divided on such fundamental levels as who can use a bathroom, who can sit where on a bus, who can sit at a lunch counter, who can drink from a water fountain. While these evils were actively being lived out, there was a place that went against it all. There was a time, week in and week out, that defied the evil of the world. We often talk about how radical the love of Jesus Christ is, how life-giving and life-changing his gospel is. What can be more radical, more life-altering and life-giving than in the midst of segregation, blacks and whites drinking from the same cup? Jesus said, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them." When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you?" So often we talk about how radical the love of Jesus Christ is, how life-giving and life-changing his gospel is. But we do not talk enough about how offensive the love of Jesus Christ is, how offensive it is to the evils of the world, how offensive it can be to our social norms, conventions, and laws. Jesus offended the people of his day, eating with sinners, proclaiming that God's kingdom was near and that the lowly would be raised up. This offended the powers of the world so much that they tried to silence him with crucifixion and failed. The first Christians offended the Romans because they would not place Caesar above God. This offense made many of them martyrs for their faith in Jesus Christ. Throughout the centuries, Christians have offended, crossing boundaries and barriers, placing themselves in harm's way to stand up to the evil of the world and live out Christ's love. And in every century, there have been people offended by them, people who stand to lose something if the radical love of Jesus Christ were to be experienced by all. In this world of ours today, which has become so divided and politicized, what can be more offensive to those who seek to keep us separated and apart than coming to this altar every week? What can be more offensive to the evils of the world than declaring that all people regardless of race, gender, orientation, political beliefs, class, nationality, that all people are called to eat the same bread and drink from the same cup? That all have been called to share in the body and blood of Jesus Christ, which was given for the entire world, given to conquer all our sins and reconcile us back to each other. Bishop Curry said, "Communion is a sacrament of unity that overcomes even the deepest estrangement between human beings." In communion, we discover that all of God's children, all of them have been called together, called to know they are loved, that they are forgiven, and that they are called to love one another as they have been loved and to forgive each other as they have been forgiven. This offensive and radical message has the power to transform souls, to reorder lives, and to bring near the kingdom of God. There is no clever pun for this truth and power. Only the invitation from our Lord. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. Amen.